Well, Lord God, we give you thanks that this is your house, that you have chosen us. We acknowledge again that we have not chosen you, you have chosen us. Before we knew we were lost, you came out to get us. And we only came to know that we were lost with your help. We didn't know how bad things were until you helped us to, you opened our eyes. You started to give us ears to hear. And then we realized how much we needed you. Oh, we need you. And now you let us know that you want us to be your house and dwell among us, where the lost and lonely can come and find burdens lifted because you are the burden lifter. So we thank you that that's what you're doing among us. That's what you're making. And, oh, Lord, we reach out for that being made into that your house. We might grow up in you and grow as your people and grow in ministry, grow in loving one another and loving others and reaching out. So we reach out to you right now for your word, for your direction, for what you had to say to us, and for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Order our steps in your word, O Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're in Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians for the next few weeks. We started there last Sunday. And we're doing a sermon series, and it's all coming out of the book of Ephesians. Okay, so we're in Ephesians chapter 4 today, verses 1 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. If you have your Bibles open, then you'll be able to use them as we look at these verses as the word is proclaimed. So when you have it open, say amen. You can follow along as these words are read.
A reading from Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it is said he ascended, what does it mean? But that he has also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descends is the same one who ascends far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking in the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, and each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Those that are sitting in back, if you start to have trouble hearing this morning, move forward, because I know as you get further back, sometimes the sounds, the words get a little fuzzy with that big fan on. So if you're finding that you're having a trouble hearing, just move on up. Amen. The topic of our sermon series is God has given us everything we need to grow up. God has given us everything we need to grow up as God's children, to grow to maturity, to the fullness of the stature of Christ, to grow up. That's our sermon series theme. Last Sunday, we talked about the power to comprehend. God gives us the power to comprehend, the power to see, in order that we might reach out and embrace what God shows us. Amen. We recognize that the power to comprehend was very important for our growth in Christ and as the children of God. This morning, our topic is gifts for ministry. Gifts for ministry. God equips us, gives us gifts for ministry in the body of Christ by which all members can grow. It's through ministry. You and I being ministered to through the gifts of God's body, and you and I ministering to other brothers and sisters. Now, this is just the way God made it. This is what we need to do for growth. Amen. And that's why it's so important to keep coming back. So important. Because God made His body, the body of Christ, to be the central place where you and I can grow. We can be nurtured. We can be sustained. We can be maintained through the gifts of the body, through the various ministries that God raises up. You know, as we think about this growth thing, I want us to have this image on our minds as well. And that's simply the image of taking steps. Okay? You see that? You want to grow? It's about taking steps. If you've been delivered from something, you've been delivered from something so you could take steps. In fact, you weren't able to take steps because you were so bound. So God needed to deliver you so you could take a step. Amen? Amen? But once we've been delivered from something, it's time to take steps. And not just another deliverance. You know, sometimes we're just waiting. Oh, you got to deliver me from this thing too, Lord. No, the Lord is saying, now, I just delivered you so you can take a step now. And our growing has a lot to do with taking steps. And God will have other things to deliver us from, but that's so we can take some more steps. Because growing has to do with taking steps. Some of us are just taking steps just to get here Sunday morning. Thanks be to God, we'll just keep taking that step. That's a very important step. So you keep taking it. But God has some more steps to take too, you see. So take those steps as God gives them to you. Amen? So, do you want to grow up? You want to grow up as God's child, as God's son or daughter, then receive the gifts that God gives you for growing up. Paul lifts up two kinds of gifts in our reading for today. And I'm calling the first one lifestyle gifts. These are real important. And the second are equipment gifts. And we need them both, and they work together. Okay, the first one is lifestyle gifts. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So you lead a life worthy of your calling as sons and daughters of God and witnesses to God's kingdom. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, live out your calling. Live out your calling as a son or daughter of God and a witness to God's good news and God's kingdom with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Look at that. Those are lifestyle gifts, aren't they? Those are lifestyle gifts, behavior gifts, attitude gifts for those called by God. Humility, gentleness, and patience are to displace pride, harshness, and impatience. Amen? Pride, harshness, and impatience are the way of the world and the flesh. Humility, gentleness, and patience are the way of the Spirit. They are the way of the Holy Spirit. God's kingdom, God's reign and rule comes through humility, gentleness, and patience. The lifestyle worthy of our calling is filled with humility, gentleness, and patience because it is a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is humility, gentleness, and patience. Operating in the flesh, we are prideful. Operating in the flesh, we will very easily start to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And we will place ourselves over others. We'll place our desires over others. We will get into battles with other people's desires. It really isn't even about either of us. Not our true selves. All it is about our desires. Our desires battling someone else's desires. In the flesh. And we will compare ourselves to one another. That's pride too. And what do we have to do with comparing ourselves with someone else? Amen. And that is the flesh as well. And we are harsh toward others in the flesh, quick to judge them. And we are impatient with others. We are impatient with situations. We think and act like it's about us rather than about God's kingdom and about God's rule and about God's reign and about God's purpose for us and what God has for us. When we are operating in the flesh, our religion, our Christianity, becomes prideful, harsh, and impatient. Let me say something about that, okay? Because we can come to know Christ. And we start to come to know the things of Christ. We may start reading our Bible, and we start reading all kinds of things that have to do with Christ. And sometimes we can get real overwhelmed. Oh man, this is what it means to be a Christian. I don't think I could even begin this thing. I mean, this thing I started, I don't even know how I could possibly finish it. Well, thanks be to God, what the Holy Spirit started in us, the Holy Spirit can bring to completion, right? So, you know, if my brother, my sister, you start getting nervous about hearing about your sins. It's all right. God's taking care of this. God's going to take care of this. So just keep listening. It's okay. You know, and the Holy Spirit will convict us of stuff that we didn't even know was sin. And we start to get real uncomfortable. Oh, do I even belong here with all these Christian people? You belong here, my brother and my sister, because all of us are unfinished works, right? And God isn't through with any of us yet. But here's the thing. We will start out in Christ, you know, starting to step out and start to know the leading of the Spirit, start to know something. And then maybe we read a bunch of stuff in the Bible. And then when we start out in the Spirit, we start trying to do in the flesh. We start to do in our own strength. And then the things in the Bible no longer give us direction. They're just like laws that we can't keep up either. But we're trying hard. And then we try to convince ourselves, well, I'm doing better. And we're lying to ourselves. And that's what happens in the flesh. And if we go on that way, then we will start to have a Christianity and a religion that is prideful, harsh, and impatient, because that's what comes in our flesh. It doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. So if we walk by the flesh rather than by the Spirit, while we call ourselves Christians, we will carry on a form of religion while denying the power of it. And instead of the Spirit that brings life and healing and freedom, it will be the flesh and the devil that brings pride and harshness and impatience. And our religion will become hard and hurtful, self-righteous and judgmental, legalistic and punitive. We will talk Christ, but those who need Christ, need His healing and mercy and salvation, will turn away in fear. And we won't have anybody to minister to, because we're not even a minister, except of the devil's religion. I know, that's some heavy stuff, isn't it? That's why you and I got to live under the mercy of God, and live by God's forgiveness, and by God's cleansing, and by God's victory. By the Holy Spirit. So God gives gifts for a lifestyle that is worthy of our calling to be children of God and witnesses. And so Paul also says, bear with one another in love. What a beautiful phrase, isn't it? You got to walk with the Spirit to even know that such a thing is possible. Bear with one another in love. Endure one another. Sometimes suffer with one another. Suffer through some things. Be willing to suffer through some stuff in order to still be with one another. Bear each other's burdens in love. You know, stand next to your sister and take some of the heat your sister's getting or your brother's getting. Bear with one another in Christ Jesus. And then verse 3, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Making every effort. Our relationships demand effort. Amen. They demand effort. Marriages demand effort. If we're not working on our marriage, something's unraveling because our marriages demand effort. Our relationships, parents to children and children to parents, demands effort. And it demands effort in the Holy Spirit. Our households, our family relationship, our workplace relationship demand effort. Making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I'm thinking about this too, my brothers and sisters. We are, as the body of Christ, to be a witness to the nations. We are sent out to the ends of the earth, and we are to be a witness to the nations. And I'm thinking this morning, all this warring we are seeing. I mean, this is about our world. It's about the way it's governed. Jesus says the ruler of this world is the devil. And we witness this over and over and over again. And Paul speaks of a veil over the eyes of those who are perishing. And our world, its nations, its leadership is perishing. It's like it's got a veil over its eyes. And it's so deep. This is certainly true when it comes to war. It is evil, and it's an expression of deep darkness. We can shoot missiles, and we can drop bombs on each other, and give a rationale for it. That's a veil over our eyes, isn't it? We will even say that it's going to make things better. Isn't that amazing? We are going to war to make things better. We are going to change things. And then we even have the arrogance and the pride to bring God into it. To war against other children of God in God's name. Now that is about the most amazing thing, isn't it? How deep and dark that veil is over our eyes. Now my brothers and sisters, take any rationale that we may have for war that includes having God as a cosigner and try putting it into the mouth of the God of Jesus. Just try it. Any rationale you hear where God is a cosigner. We do this in God's name. This is for the good. We're doing this for the good. And just try to put that in the God who came to us in Jesus Christ. And then listen to what actually comes out of the mouth of Jesus, who is the manifestation of God, who reveals to us what comes from the Father. It ain't anything like that, is it? Jesus says, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He didn't say blessed are the warmongers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are making peace. Making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see how high our calling is, my brothers and sisters. It is before the world, isn't it? As well as toward each other. But now look at unity is a hallmark sign of our calling as children of God. And true witnesses to God's kingdom. Divisiveness and disunity, deceit, discord, and dissension are signs of the work of the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And let's not say what is of the devil and try to apply it to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says, they will know you are my disciples, my followers, by your love for one another. Not by the problems you are having with sister so-and-so. They'll never get it by the problems you're having with brother so-and-so. Amen? They will know you are following me by your love for one another. That is the only way they're going to see it. Body of Christ, people of God. They won't see it by our bickering with each other or our discord or anything else. They will see it by our active loving one another. This is such an important point that Paul goes to the heart of our unity in verses 4 through 6. He says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. True unity is not found in our thinking the same things. It is not found in our having the same culture. It is not in all worshiping exactly the same way or praying the same way or talking the same way or having the same interests or having the same personalities. It is not found in what the world might call being compatible. It is found in one place, and that is in the God and Father of us all. In Him there is unity, and in Him alone. God alone is the source of our unity in the bond of peace. My brother, my sister, if you're looking for it anywhere right now, someplace else, it isn't there. If you're trying to fix that relationship in some other way than through the God, the Father who comes in Jesus Christ, you won't find it. It will still be broken. The unity is in Him who unifies all things, in whom all things hold together. And in whom our marriages, our families, our households, our church, our schools, our nation can be held together. Without which nothing will hold together. Why is it that nations pass away? Civilizations and pass away. Until Jesus is Lord of all, everything's just going to keep passing away. Amen? But the Bible says the church will reign forever. Isn't that something? Because we will reign with Christ. Amen. Oh, my. Therefore, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so God gives us lifestyle gifts. And they are gifts. They're gifts of the Spirit. And as you and I walk in the Spirit, learn to live by the Spirit, then these gifts or fruits grow up in us. Patience and kindness and gentleness and humility and love that bears all things. These things grow in us. So thanks be to God. You know, and if you're thinking, wow, I got a ways to go. Yes, I have a ways to go. See, so, but right now say, thank you, Lord, that you provided the way to get there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit in my life today. Thank you for your presence and thank you for what you're doing. Now, after Paul lifts up our unity, he then talks about our diversity. Now, that's real important. I love that because we'll get bent out of shape all kinds of ways about our diversity. You know, we'll get into conflicts over our differences. He talks about our unity first. He says, look it. In the God who created you, all are one. We are united. And yet God makes us all different. Thanks be to God. You know, we're not unified in our sameness. We're unified in God. And God loves diversity. He makes different peoples and cultures, different manifestations of Himself. Thanks be to God. Different individuals with different individuality. We are all different, thanks be to God. And different gifts. Some gifts are simply gifts of creation. You know, our individuality is a gift of creation. We're all created as individuals, different from each other. Thanks be to God. Not just bodily, but emotionally, spiritually, all kinds of ways. Amen. But also, there are spiritual gifts, and that is what he especially focuses on here in terms of diversity within the body of Christ. Different spiritual gifts, different ministries in the Spirit, different ways of serving. And so, we're talking about equipment gifts. Verse 7, but each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Each of us have been given gifts according to the measure of Christ's gift. And so in verses 11 to 13, some of those gifts are named. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We are equipped with spiritual gifts for the purpose of the building up, the growing of the body of Christ, and the growing of each of its members, you see. Until all of us come to the unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God, and the full stature of Christ. Do you want to grow in Christ, my brother, my sister? Do you want to grow up in Him? Then help someone else to grow up in Christ with the gifts and ministries God has given you. And also allow someone else to minister to you with their gifts and ministries. Do not be so prideful that you can't let someone else minister to you. Often the person that God is choosing to minister to us is that person we're saying really doesn't have anything for us. Because God will take a child who's just new and will minister to us, if we are willing to receive what God has to give to us. Do not look down on your brother or sister. And do not look so far up that you don't think you have some gifts for ministry. Amen? And that God wants to use you with that sister or brother, whoever that sister or brother is, however high up you might think they are. They might know something different. Amen? Well, Paul gives a short list here. Apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, that kind of thing. But Paul has a longer list elsewhere. The names of ministry he gives here are for the equipping of the saints. And there are some gifts, certain kinds of ministry, especially for the equipping of the saints. But what I want us to hear this morning, or this afternoon, all of us are given gifts. Every one of us, equipment gifts, for doing the ministry to which God calls us. So that all may grow. So that all of us ministering to one another might help one another to grow. Amen. God has equipped for you to carry out God's purpose for you. He's given you equipment that you might carry out His purpose. Now this is great good news, because it means that each one of us have a purpose. We're not just out here. We're not just out here just wasting time trying to decide what to do with our lives. God has a life for us. He's got a plan for us. He's got a purpose for us. And He equips us in such a way that we can carry out that purpose. And that's where our joy, peace, life, happiness, fulfillment are. Amen? And God has it for you, my brothers and sisters. God's news, good news is this. God saved you for a purpose. And it's important that we get clear on this. When we were out in the world, we made up our own purposes. And basically, we made up our purposes based on our desires and our flesh and our lust. I mean, that's pretty much, it was pretty simple, really. Sometimes we thought we were complex, but we were pretty much doing it what everybody else was doing. And it was pretty simple. You know, I do what makes me feel good. That's pretty much it. And we call that a purpose. That ain't a purpose. That's an appetite, or that's, you know, it's something else. That's not a purpose. And God has a purpose for every one of us. Now that we have come into a relationship with the living God, we must learn to receive from Him our purpose. Okay? That's so important. Now that we have come into a relationship with the living God, we must learn to receive from Him our purpose. We who have found our purpose in a lot of crazy places, now we must learn to receive our purpose from Him. We are not to receive it from our desires and our flesh, our lusts. God created us. He knows what He created us for, what He's got for us, what He's got for us to do. And He knows how He's going to use our desires and appetites, too, because they all belong to Him, too. So we don't have to worry about that. They'll have their right time and place. Amen? As God takes control of our our appetites and desires and all. He's going to take care of that too. But now, here's the other thing. We cannot simply take what we used to have as a purpose when we're out in the world and make God an add-on to it. I'll explain what I mean. We can't say things like this. I mean, we can't do this kind of thing. You know, I've always wanted this kind of job. God, get this kind of job for me, okay? I mean, like God was just what we needed to get what we couldn't get before. And like maybe we don't need preparation for that job now that we have God. You know, like maybe we don't have to go through some things or take up our cross and struggle through some things. You know, God, give me that job now that I got you in my life and you are so powerful and you can fix this for me that I haven't been able to fix for myself. You know, or I want to be in a relationship with this person. God, would you fix it up? Fix it up. Work it out. hook me up. Or, you know, I want these things, or I want this experience, I want to have this, I want to have this. And God, help me with my brothers and my sisters. That ain't it, is it? Because a lot of stuff we were running out after wasn't helping us. And the whole thing right now is we need God to show us even what our purpose is and why we're here. And so we're learning to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. In my life, as it is in heaven. See, on earth, in my place, in my life, as it is in heaven. Amen. Because my blessing, my joy, my peace is in your will, Father. It hasn't been in my stuff. Amen. And so we have to learn to keep receiving it from Him. And God has a high calling for you and me. Paul says it's the full stature of Christ. That's what we're on our way to. And you and I are being gifted to help others to that full stature of Christ. Just as others are being gifted to help us become like Christ. Remember years ago in a youth group in California that I was youth director of, a teen saying, you know, if we were always just responding to other people's needs, then none of us would have to worry about our own. And she said that out of what she was coming to experience in this little body of Christ of young people. Amen. I mean, I think that is about the body of Christ. That if we are caring for each other, ministering to each other, we're also going to be ministered to as others are taking up their gifts and ministering. God wants you right now to reach out for your gifts. I was talking to some young men Friday after our gatherings. We were about everybody gone. We were right here in the fellowship hall. And one of them asked me why I became a pastor. And I said, well, God called me to be a pastor. And, of course, that raised all kinds of questions. And we got to talking about how someone knows their call and how you know your call. And we got to I got to share about, well, submitting our will to God and being willing to do whatever God wants to do with our lives, you know. And then I said, all of us have a calling. This is just pastors. I'm called to be a pastor. But God calls everyone to be something. Everybody has a calling. So each one of you, there are three of them, each one of you have a calling. And then I asked this one young man, Joe Nathan, whose mother calls him Jonathan, but he calls himself Joe Nathan. I said, is there something that's on your heart and a desire that you can see yourself becoming at this point in your life as you look ahead that maybe it'll be your calling? And he said, I want to be a dentist. Wow. I thought, I don't think I've ever heard a young person tell me they want to be a dentist. And I said to him, you know, people will often say to me that you really need a calling to be a pastor. And I say to them, you really need a calling to be whatever God has called you to be. Amen. You really need. And I said to this young man, I said, you know, I can't imagine being a dentist. I really don't have a calling to be a dentist. I can't imagine being in someone's mouth all day, right? And I think there's a lot of people that, but I thank God for dentists. And I think I've got a, few teeth that were saved, by a dentist. So I'm grateful for dentists. And I'm grateful that there's someone who else wants to be a dentist. Amen. But it's got to be a calling, because I sure enough don't want to be a dentist. But apparently you do. You do. And that's the way it is, isn't it? God calls us individually, and each one of us must have a calling. And any of us are into something that doesn't really fit us, we can, it's a struggle, it is hard. But if it's a calling, we thank God for it even when it's hard. Amen. But that's true for vocations out in the world, and it's true for vocations within the body of Christ, within the church, because each of us have a calling to minister and serve in this place, in the ways that God calls us to do. So, body of Christ, it is time to reach out for your gift. Paul says, strive for the spiritual gifts. I'm going to take just a little more time. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, shares a list of some gifts. And I want you to hear these, and then I want you to think about something with me. He says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. God has something for everyone. Now listen, look at this. This is why it's so important for us to strive, reach out for our spiritual gifts. How can your sisters and brothers grow to full stature of Christ and grow in their witness unless they receive wisdom and knowledge by the Spirit? Through sisters and brothers operating by the Spirit. How can they grow in body and soul and spirit unless they experience healing through brothers and sisters who have the gift of healing in the Spirit? Amen? How are they to be delivered from whatever they need to be delivered from unless there are miracles that God is producing through the brothers and sisters who make up the body of Christ? How will they come to distinguish the spirits that are trying to operate through them except that there is someone who discerns spirits? How can you be helped to grow in the inner person without gifts of the Spirit? Perhaps the gift of tongues, but gifts of the Spirit for your edification and for your upbuilding. Amen. And so Paul's word is, strive for your spiritual gifts. They are for every member of the body of Christ. The equipment that God gives to us is directed to a very specific purpose. And that is to the purpose of our growing up in Christ. Until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. God's purpose for you, my brother, my sister, is to serve. It's to serve. It's to be a witness in word and deed. God has taken us from a place of selfishness and unbelief. It's not a good place to be. And He's taken us to a place of service and witness. Amen? God is turning self-centered people into God-centered people who care about others. Amen? I mean, isn't that what He's doing? He is moving us from the bondage of self-preoccupation and low self-esteem. And the two go together, by the way. Sometime we'll talk about that. Self-preoccupation and low self-esteem. He is moving us from the bondage to those things to the freedom of love. And love, when we're loving, we are truly free. And that is the freedom of the children of God. God created us and redeemed us to love one another and serve one another. And our healing is in our calling. I want you to hear this. This is real important for some of us today. There are some things in your life today that are troubling you and have been troubling you for quite some time. You may have even come up and asked people to pray for you and they're still troubling you. There are some things, not all things, but there are some things that are troubling you that are not going away until you forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him and serve others. Amen? I mean, there are some things that you are messing with your mind, messing with your heart, clouding your vision, got you all messed up, messing over you, and it's not going to go away until you forget about yourself, concentrate on Him, worship Him, and serve somebody. Oh, God is so good to us because that's what He's doing in us. That's what He's got for us. Some of us today would be growing by leaps and bounds if we would let the Lord God take us out of ourselves and take us out to somebody else to just minister to that person, just serve that person, just pray for that person, just be a help to that person and not ask for anything in return, not ask to be thanked or to worry about that, but just give ourselves freely in the love of God. And that's for you, member of the body of Christ. It is for each one of us. God's purpose for you and me is the full stature of Christ. And Jesus came and said, I came to serve, not to be served. And then He showed us the joy and the beauty and the fulfillment involved in loving others. And He said He wanted us to know His joy. Isn't that something? And His joy was the joy of giving, of serving, of loving. It's really the joy of being in love, isn't it? That's what Jesus is talking about. The joy of being in love. And the joy of loving. The joy of serving. The joy of giving. The joy of letting go. Oh, that's what He has for us. It's for you, member, body of Christ. I got one more thing I want to lay on. Just a little thing. I'm gonna get there. The prophet Jeremiah asked the question, can leopards change their spots? And, of course, the answer to that is no. Leopards cannot change their spots. Because spots just go with being a leopard. You're a leopard. You can't be a leopard without having spots. That's how you even know a leopard's a leopard. It has spots, right? So the answer is no. A leopard cannot change their spots. But then Jeremiah implies of us that we are like leopards who have changed their spots, which makes no sense at all. And of course, when we're out in the world, we are making no sense at all. Because we were made to love God and to serve each other. That's the way we're created. Just like a leopard is created to have spots. That's the way we're created, to sort of be out fighting each other and putting each other down and trashing each other. That's really strange. For God's children. Doesn't make any sense. We have turned away from our true selves and found ourselves in deep levels of selfishness. And Jeremiah is telling us that the evil, that doing evil is not the way God made us. Even if it seems like we're doing it naturally. God didn't naturally make us that way. Amen. And so Jeremiah calls us back to our true selves with these words. He says, then also you can do good. Just like a leopard has to have spots, you can do good who are accustomed to doing evil. When you are accustomed to doing evil, you are not being the true self God intended you to be. Like a leopard that has changed his spots. Your true self is found in doing good. That is what God created and redeemed you to be. And in the Spirit of God, it comes naturally. God will do it. He does it through us. And He raises us up for it because He made us for it. Your true self is found in doing good. When you and I do evil, We are losing our true self and we have nothing else to gain because we don't have anything else. And something is dying in us. Our souls are dying and love is dying. As a leper that has lost its spots is a dead leper because it's a skin leper. Amen. God's children who persist in their sin, keep on making a practice of sin. Keeping on with that secret sin or that thing I can't give it up yet. I'm just going to hold on to it. My brother, my sister, we are killing ourselves inside. And today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to turn from that thing and be right with God in that area of our lives. Because joy and peace dies. And love will die. If we persist, you see what I'm saying? Making a practice of that which God is calling us from. And which God is calling us from today. Whatever that might be. Amen. Can an eagle be an eagle and not soar in the high heavens? Can a lion be a lion and not roar? Can a human being made in the image of God truly be human and not love? Jeremiah said, no. You just plain lose yourself. You lose your soul. Your yourself. Your true self. God has come to us in Jesus Christ. He has died for us. Jesus died for us and was raised for us. For our justification, to be made right with God. To repent from that thing. To be set free from that thing. And to come into a living relationship with God and grow in that relationship with God. Grow in the ministry of the Spirit. Grow in the leading of the Spirit. Grow as God's child. And He's done it for us. Jesus dying on the cross for us, being raised for our victory. As the children of God. Love serves and God equips us to serve. Who are you serving today, my brother, my sister? Are you serving with the equipment God gives to you? He does not mean for you to try to serve in your own strength. He doesn't mean for that. Or in your own flesh. That's bondage too. That's a slavery. He means for us to serve in the Spirit and in the power of His love. And the power of His presence. That's what He means for us. And He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit for that. Be filled with the Spirit. And grow up as God's children. Later on there's going to be opportunity to come forward. There will be prayer teams up there. And it may be that you're going to come forward and you're going to say, pray for me. That the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit in me might be stirred up. Or that God might pour into me His gifts or the gift of the Spirit that He has for me today. Whether it's the gift of tongues or the gift of interpretation or the gift of prophecy or the gift of miracles or the gift of healing. Because that is what God gives. And Paul says, strive for the gifts. Reach out for them. Go for them. Seek them. Prayerfully seek them. Ask others to pray over you for them. And see that God doesn't give. God gives. Because God chooses to give. And He gives us the equipment we need to love one another, serve one another. And He gives us lifestyle gifts. That our relationships might be built up. And that we might grow in serving one another. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro. And blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. God is giving us what we need to grow up in Him. And He has it for us as a body. And He gifts the body so that the body might minister. That He might minister through His body to one another. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. We are going to move to community prayer time. Because we're going to pray for each other right now. The body is going to minister to the body. And we just want to let go and let God. Let the Holy Spirit use us right now. Just let the Holy Spirit use us. Let us pray for one another. Let us minister to one another. I know we're going to sing something. as a way to prepare and continue to move us into this. But let us all stand. I want us to stand. I want us to face the center aisle. That way it's a way that we can look at each other, be reminded of our relationship to each other. And we are here to minister to each other. I thank God for all of you. And I thank God for the Word of God. And I thank God for the Word of God on a hot day, too. You know, and I believe one day God may bless us with air conditioning. But in the meantime, God blesses us with strength and the strength of character to hang in there and to reach out for the Word, even whether it's hot or cold. Amen? Thanks be to God.
Anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Touch my heart, Lord.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
If you can
use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Lift your hands. This is your prayer. This is our prayer.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
If you can
use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
If you can use anything,
Lord, you can use me.
Oh, Lord, we give you thanks for your presence. And in your presence, as we are available to you, you do use us. We thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, our helper. We thank you for your ministry among us. Not only to us and in us, but also through us. Thank you. Your servants are listening. Speak, Lord, speak. Your servants are listening. Speak, Lord, speak. Speak in us, to us, and through us. Minister to us, in us, and through us. Thank you, Lord.